I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world. Not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Everyone's adjusting to the new time for You Talking to Me, 4 p.m. Wednesdays. Hopefully there aren't any listeners that are tuning in Mondays, wondering why we're not on then. The rest of you, spread the word. And while you are, let them know I'm hosting a morning show here at CJAM. It's Big JD and Lippo in the morning. You can listen Thursdays at 8 a.m. currently. I think the show will move to 8:30 at some point, but I hope you check it out. I'm on with my Jabbercast co-host, Lippo. Now on to today's topic, it's smoking. It's time to trash the ash. Joining me today is University of Windsor medical student Roman Shapiro. Roman is one of the coordinators of the Trash the Ash event coming up October 26th at the Hangar, located in St. Clair College. It's an awareness campaign put on by the Windsor Regional Cancer Center.
Here to discuss smoking and tell us more about this campaign, please welcome Roman Shapiro to You Talking to Me. Hi, Roman.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Okay, so the campaign is to make sure students and anyone really aged 14 to 24 know the effects of smoking, correct?
That's right, yes.
It's to raise awareness. Now, this event is not a lecture, really. So kind of explain what it is.
Yeah, that's right. So it's kind of a combination. So you'll have about 15-minute lectures from three speakers. So that's a total of about 45 minutes of lecture style. But then the rest of the time, which is at least another hour and 15 minutes or so, will be for personal communication, asking questions from people. So you're not going to be just sitting in a lecture hall the whole time. You get a chance to ask your questions from people who are familiar with the topic.
Right. And you're kind of promoting this as a sort of a cafe style.
That's right. In fact, there will be food there.
Oh, great.
We are promising nourishment. You can't promise too much, but there will be enough there for you to enjoy while you ask your questions and think about your questions.
And an emphasis on people and youth asking questions, basically. And it's not that often you get to ask these professionals questions, because there's going to be a number of professionals there in this type of setting. So it really should be taken advantage of by everyone.
Absolutely, because here is your opportunity to find out from people working in the field. Either it's from the science aspect of it, or from the public health aspect of it, or from the cancer prevention aspect of it. So these are people who are experts in their field, and you can ask your questions and, you know, get them answered.
Let's talk about these people that will be speaking, these professionals, and the role that they'll be playing in this. Dr. Lisa Porter is one.
That's right. So Dr. Lisa Porter, she's a professor at the University of Windsor. She gives a lot of public lectures. They're very well attended, and they're always very interesting. Her talks are always very interesting. They're accessible to the public. She'll talk about the science behind what smoking does, its effects on the body, its effects during puberty. She does research in the area, in this field, so she'll be able to discuss this, and again, in a way that's understandable to anyone, not even people who don't study science.
Mm-hmm. And then there's Dr. Hammond.
That's right. So he's a professor from Waterloo. He's going to address the public health aspect of it. So what is the effect of media on the youth's desire to smoke? Apparently there are effects that youth are not even aware of. And he'll be discussing that.
And one of those such things is how people are kind of made to smoke?
Yeah, I personally don't know too much about it. That's why it's going to be so interesting, even for me, because
sure.
I'm, you know, we don't get taught this as medical students either. And this is an effect that youth are apparently influenced by, say, media messages, movies, things that we see that we don't even realize that we're influenced by. But apparently there is an effect. Apparently there is
And I guess these things come from tobacco companies, which is basically what he'll be discussing.
He will be talking about that, yep.
And then Joanne DiNardo from the Canadian Cancer Society?
Right, so she'll be talking, giving the Canadian Cancer Society's message about smoking, talking about prevention, talking about strategies to help you quit. And pretty much explaining why quitting is important. But I'd like to emphasize that this is not going to be one of those, you know, you should quit forums or talks. This is more information based.
Right.
If you're, you know, if you're considering smoking or would like to smoke or for whatever reason, you should be aware of what you're doing, right? And if you choose to do so, at least be aware of what might happen.
Who sits back and thinks that in their mind, I'd really like to smoke. I think I'd like to try smoking. That's
well,
really bad.
I guess nobody really thinks about it that way. You know, it just comes up, but you know, it's not something that you just you pick up and drop off. Some people can take a few cigarettes and not smoke anymore if they don't like it. Some people they become addicted to it. So, if you are going to smoke for whatever reason, you know, at least know what you're taking in.
Yeah, I got to say that I did smoke a cigarette once when I was and not a whole cigarette. I'm going to say I must have been 12 years old or something like that, and. And never
disgusting,
wanted
right?
to smoke. Yeah.
Yeah,
somebody stole cigarettes from their parents or something and tried it, and it was horrible. Did you ever?
Oh yeah, well, I tried it. I mean, who doesn't try it, right?
Yeah,
everybody tries it once, but just like you, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you do like it, that's fine. But again, you should know what you're taking in. You should know what you're breathing in. You know, I know that generally people 14 to 24 are not always that concerned with their health. Generally, they're young. You know, there's no need to be worried about anything.
Yeah.
But there are effects that you should know. And if you do decide to continue smoking, at least get checked on those effects. You know, be aware that there are risks and get checked. And you might even prevent yourself a lot of trouble down the road by just being aware.
Yeah.
So this is an information session. This is something for your, you know, for your benefit to find out, to ask questions.
I think a big thing to mention is that you have kids that young, you know, 14 years old, and so have no idea of how they will wish at some point in time that they never did start that if they do, you know.
That's thinking about the future. And the future is not now.
That's right, right. And you go through all these things and you learn, but, you know, hopefully you can take the advice from experts. And
because these are credible experts. These are people who work in the field. They know their facts. Because this is not intended to influence or do anything of that nature. They know their facts. They know what they're working with. So they can give you credible information, stuff you can believe in.
Yeah.
You know, if you just look up stuff online, it may be right, maybe not, who knows. But from these people, you can get your questions answered. Anything related to smoking or cancer or anything really that is related to their field.
Yeah.
So I think you should take the opportunity and go.
Definitely. Be a great information session, raising that awareness to something that you don't normally know answers to and could maybe help you in the long run. So what organizations are involved in putting this event
together? Oh, there's a whole
list.
I have a whole list here. Okay. But I'll tell you some of them. So there's the Canadian Cancer Society, the University of Windsor, the Windsor Regional Hospital, the Cancer Prevention Network, Windsor Essex County Cancer Center Foundation. Notice the word cancer is used a lot here. Unfortunately, there is a tie. There is a definite connection between smoking and cancer. So that's why a lot of these cancer-related societies or organizations are contributing to this. They want this information known. St. Clair Student Representative Council is involved with Windsor Essex County Health Unit. The medical students at the Windsor campus of the Schulich School of Medicine and Dentistry. And I think these are the ones that come to mind right now. There may be others. I apologize if I left them out. But you will, you know, they will make themselves known at the event.
You're also a coordinator for this event. So what's your job specifically and also what's your role at the event itself?
Well, my job is to make sure that the medical students know their stuff. So, you know, we learn a lot about smoking. We learn a lot about health. But we have to make sure that we know the content of what Dr. Porter, Dr. Hammond, and Joanne DiNardo will be talking about. So our job will be to answer questions. We'll be very familiar with what their presentation is, and we have some knowledge of, you know, the effects of smoking. So when you go to the event and you wish to ask questions, you can ask us. Now, one of two things can happen. Either we'll have the answer and we'll be able to answer you right there, or we won't have the answer, in which case we'll promise to get back to you because we have resources that we can use, doctors that we know, literature that we can access. Basically, we're going to answer your questions one way or the other, and we're going to give you credible information. We're not going to, you know, beat around the bush or lie or anything like that.
Right. And chances are that somebody there will have an answer anyway. You know, I mean, if the students don't, but...
Well, it'd be great if, you know, everybody had all the answers all the time, but you'd be surprised. Sometimes there are questions that are just, nope, you know, we can't answer right away, but,
sure.
You know, that's not going to be the common question. That's going to be more of a, you know, a weird, maybe as we call a zebra question, but mm-hmm. Nevertheless, every question that we cannot answer, we'll get back to you. That's a promise.
Let's talk a little bit about the effects of smoking. I guess we could start with its effects on sexual development and pregnancy. I know they say that you shouldn't smoke or shouldn't drink during pregnancy.
Dr. Porter is going to talk about the science behind the effects of certain things in cigarettes mm-hmm. On sexual development.
Stunt your growth?
Well, I can't say for sure because I'm not an expert. I don't think it can stunt your growth. She'll talk a lot more about those effects. However, I can tell you that cigarettes have a lot of chemicals in them. So just to mention a few, tar, cadmium. These are things that, you know, they're not good for you for sure. And mm-hmm. there's proven links between them and cancer and them and their effect on sexual development. So there's the exact effect. You know, I cannot tell you definitively, mm-hmm. but the fact that there is an effect, you know, that's out there. And Dr. Porter will talk more about that. I don't want to take away too much of what she's going to say.
Sure, sure.
And I don't want to give you false information.
Something that comes to mind is the fact that at some point, I'm not sure how much we'll actually talk about research, but in researching tobacco and smoking, that would really... I don't think I'd want to be one of the guinea pigs that probably somebody's got to smoke to do some of the research and...
Well, not exactly, because research can be done in cells, so in culture.
Okay.
In other words, you're not working with actual people who are, mm-hmm. you're not forcing them to smoke and then testing them. That would not be ethical. You would work with cells and you would expose cells to an environment that recreates, that simulates smoking. Mm-hmm. You can also work with animals and there are certain, you know, ethical guidelines for working with animals.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They're like models.
Yeah.
They are representative of the way that we are. Mm-hmm. We don't actually test it on humans directly. But the other way to study smoking with research is epidemiological studies. So people who do decide to smoke, and you just simply count how many of them get, you know, certain kinds of cancers or other disorders, and then you try to connect this smoking and somehow relate it to the number of incidences of a certain kind of cancer or a certain kind of other problem. And you draw these correlations, as they're called, between them. Now, the problem with those is that they're not exactly cause and effect, but they're still patterns that can develop from that. So mm-hmm. these are different kinds of epidemiological studies in addition to the basic science.
Smoking can be a risk factor for many diseases, and if not directly, it increases those risks.
Oh, yes.
Can you explain a little bit of that?
I can talk a little bit about that, but again, most of that's going to be talked... Dr. Porter is going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in medical school, when they teach us about diseases, they always give us risk factors for anything, and smoking is... virtually on every list of risk factors for almost every disease we get. It's got toxins, it's got carcinogens, it's got other poisons.
Mm-hmm.
It affects every body system because these toxins that you inhale, they get into your bloodstream, they can go everywhere through the blood, and they can have an effect on cells throughout your body. Really, it's a risk factor for so many things. So if you ask me for several diseases, it'll be hard to give you them all, but, you know, cancers of the lung, ovaries, bladder, you name it, has smoking as a risk factor. Not to mention other disorders.
Yeah, there are some things you might think could be associated with the smoke, like throat cancer and lung cancer and things like that. But then there's other organs like that you wouldn't think would be associated, like liver and things like that. But can it affect those
Absolutely.
Things as well?
And it can, because everything is connected. Remember, the bloodstream carries blood to all our organs. And mm-hmm. as long as anything in the smoke gets from the air into the blood, which it can do through the lungs, it can get to any organ. So again, it is a risk factor. Again, to clarify, risk factor does not mean it causes cancer. It mm-hmm. means it increases the risk of getting cancer. And cancer is a very complex disease. So anything that increases the risk of getting cancer, you know, means that there's a higher chance of getting it.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily mean you will get it, but it's just something to be aware of, increased risk.
How about the psychological aspects of smoking?
Psychological aspects. Well, that's going to be talked about. Dr. Hammond is going to talk about, you know, the effects of the tobacco companies. They use psychology to get people to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
For them, it's business. So it's not surprising that they would do that if it helps. When you say psychological, do you mean like psychological to cause smoking or to...
Commercials. Well, they don't have them on commercial anymore. But I mean,
yeah,
advertisements and things like that. Put those on billboards still? cigarettes? I don't recall seeing them on billboard.
Any. Yeah, North America has been pretty good at cutting down the amount of advertising for smoking, but people still smoke. I mean, the numbers have gone down. That's very promising. But the reason that we're trying to get this age group, 14 to 24, to come out is because they're the ones who tend to smoke. So, and if they smoke, then what are the long-term effects?
Well, that's when they're going to start, at least, even.
They're going to start. They're going to experiment, and then advertising or not, or perhaps the effects that tobacco companies have through their other means. There's Dr. Hammond is going to talk about. But either way, they start, and to discuss the future effects of this mm-hmm. on their health is one of the things that we want to get across.
Who is it that puts the labels on cigarettes, like the ones that say, quit smoking, it will kill you, those?
Yeah. So it's because of mandates, the government has required that advertising for smoking, come with warning labels.
But isn't the government involved in tobacco?
In the actual business?
Or is it strictly tobacco company owned, like a kind of private owned company?
That's a good question. I don't actually have the answer to that. I don't know. I do know that from a public health aspect, the public health, at least Ministry of Health, requires that these warning labels be on the cigarettes to tell people what they're taking in. I don't actually know how effective they are, though. I guess that's a question to ask at the event. How effective are these warning labels at deterring people from picking up smoking, especially young people? That's a good question.
If we know 100% that, well, you can't say that, I guess. I mean, I realize that there are people that have smoked for years and years and years and years and lived to be over 100 years old. So, I was going to say that in relation to something like a firearm or something, if smoking will kill you, why would they legally allow that to even be made or sold? Yet, like a firearm, it can kill you, but that doesn't mean it will kill you if you use it,
I understand what you mean, and that goes back exactly to the risk factor idea, right?
Sure.
So it's not necessarily a cause and effect. It's not the act of smoking a cigarette that's going to kill you.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say kill you. I should say, increase the risk of getting other diseases that may lead to shortened life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So smoking will increase the risk of getting those diseases. There are lots of things that are risk factors for diseases, just that smoking is a proven risk factor and a major one.
Right.
So you're pretty much gambling with getting cancer, getting high blood pressure, getting all kinds of other things that smoking can affect. Mm-hmm. Not the act of smoking, but the long-term consequences of taking those chemicals in that are in cigarettes.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the possibility of smoking cigarettes leading to other substances and the effects of smoking around kids.
You're listening to CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. Today I'm speaking with Roman Shapiro, who is a med student here at the University of Windsor and also a coordinator for the Trash the Ash campaign that we're discussing. Can smoking cigarettes lead to smoking other substances? Has there been studies on that?
I'm not familiar with any studies, and that'd be a good question to ask Dr. Hammond. Mm-hmm. However, if you smoke one thing, whatever caused you to start smoking can also cause you to start trying things out, other things.
Sure.
So it's not that trying things is a bad thing, mm-hmm. per se. We're not trying to get that across. It's just that I would think that anything you try, you should be aware of what you're taking in,
right.
At least to some degree. Unless you don't want to be, but that's a whole different story. If you want to be informed about your health, if you want to be aware of consequences in the future, you should at least be aware of partly what you're taking in.
Some might say it's just smoke, really, that they're inhaling and don't realize what's in there. And I know you mentioned that briefly. Could we talk a little bit more about what's on the label and maybe a little bit about the amounts that are in there? Are there things in place and guidelines for how much these types of ingredients could or should be in a cigarette even?
In terms of how much should be in a cigarette?
Or not should be, but how much before it's too dangerous.
All right. So certainly the amounts per cigarette are very tiny. So mm-hmm. of these carcinogens that are in cigarettes, like I mentioned earlier, cadmium is one, tar, these things are in very small amounts per cigarette. The problem is that rarely do you have people smoking one cigarette right? So
right, sure.
These things are not things that just you can just get rid of. It's not like something that you take in and passes right through you and out it goes. Okay. These things, as they pass through your system, they have lasting effects. Mm-hmm. And the more you smoke, the more these levels rise. Mm-hmm. So over time, the effects of these chemicals become additive. So the more you smoke, the higher your risk. So if you were smoking right now and quit, you know, there's a certain amount of carcinogen you've already had and experienced, but at least you won't be getting more, mm-hmm. which again then reduces your risk from where it would be if you had continued.
Right, and you always hear that if you stop smoking, it's like 10 years or something before those things are out of your system.
There are before those things are out of your system. That's actually a good question. I don't even know how long it will take for some of those things to get out of your system. Some of those things may get out in a few months. Some will stay there for years, as you said.
Yeah.
But if it, will it have an effect on overall mortality, like on your general lifespan and health? Absolutely. If you quit smoking, for people who actually have, if they got to the point where they now have symptoms related to their smoking, like if somebody was a COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a pretty serious lung disorder, often connected to smoking, over long-term smoking. Mm-hmm. People who have this disorder, it's been shown that if they stop smoking, the rate at which their lungs continue to get sicker declines significantly, meaning their lungs get sicker much slower if they mm-hmm. stop smoking. So there are these effects they see, you know, within weeks even. It's important to understand that smoking has a lasting effect on your organs, on your body systems, and if you quit, that effect will be significantly reduced.
Let's talk a little bit about smoking around kids. I'm sure most people know it's not good, but what are some of the reasons we shouldn't? I mean, there's secondhand smoke and just the fact that they are watching a parent smoke, perhaps.
So there's exactly. So kids will imitate. And right. If they see you smoke, they will smoke as well. Well, I shouldn't say they will smoke as well. I should say, again, that there's more likely that they will smoke. The other thing with kids is that they're growing. Their body is changing. As kids grow, growing kids means dividing cells. And dividing cells are particularly sensitive to carcinogens. Mm-hmm. So secondhand smoke, although it has lower quantities of cancer-causing chemicals, it may still be important and significant, especially for kids whose bodies are growing. So secondhand smoke, meaning somebody smokes a cigarette and then breathes it out, and the smoke is that's then breathed in by whoever happens to be in the area.
Yeah.
Again, it's whatever they're breathing, whatever the person smoking is breathing, the person who is experiencing the secondhand smoke is also breathing that in. The amount is less. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the total amount of toxic chemicals and carcinogens that is being breathed in is lower. So it would take a lot more secondhand smoke to get to the same level of toxic chemicals.
Sure.
But what you have to remember is that different people respond to this in different ways. Mm-hmm. So some people, even the lower amounts of secondhand smoke, if they experience it on a regular basis, that could be a significant increase in their risk for getting certain diseases. So avoiding it altogether would be better than experiencing it on a regular basis, and especially with kids, because you have to remember too, the kids are smaller. So even though they're growing, they're still quite small. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't take quite as much exposure to see lasting effects. It's very difficult to actually measure, you know, these effects directly. So we do it, as we talked about earlier, from those models that we talked about with cells and with animal models mm-hmm. that try to approximate what the effects are of smoke and even secondhand smoke on developing cancer and other diseases. But with anybody who experiences secondhand smoke, they're getting exposed to lower levels, but they're still getting exposed to whatever is in the cigarette. And therefore, their risk is higher than if they had not gotten exposed at all.
And what are some of the ways in which people could try to quit smoking? I don't know how much, you know, you guys get into this in school, actually, but I mean, things like the patch, and now they have those kind of like an electronic USB type cigarette or something like that.
I don't know how effective those electronic ones are.
Yeah.
The thing with smoking, and the reason that it's addictive, is because of nicotine. So what happens with smoking is that when people inhale one breath or one puff of smoke, mm-hmm. their nicotine levels in their blood rise really high. So it's like a spike of nicotine, and that's what they crave. So these other things like patches, what they try to do is they try to replace that nicotine high, but they can't do it as well as cigarettes. So cigarettes, the higher you get nicotine from cigarettes is much bigger than the nicotine level that you get from patches.
Unless they put a whole bunch of them on.
Well, maybe. I guess that's it. But that has its own dangers, because if the levels of nicotine are too high, then there are other problems and other effects. Right. So with a patch, what it does is it's more of a long term. So if you imagine smoking, you take a puff of smoke, nicotine level is really high, and then it drops. Whereas with a patch, it's consistent for a long period of time. And the hope is over time, with the nicotine patch, you'll become less dependent on nicotine on a nicotine craving. So some of these quit smoking strategies are based on that, to try to replace that nicotine craving without being exposed to all the toxic chemicals and carcinogens that are found in cigarettes. There are also certain medications that can be used to help, but these you have to go to your doctor to discuss, because if the doctor sees that you're willing to quit, then they may prescribe certain medications called Zyban or Champix as two examples that could help with quitting smoking. So there are many strategies available. If you are considering quitting smoking, please talk to your doctor, because doctors, you know, they're very willing to help because of all the proven effects on improvement in health that happen when people quit smoking. Doctors are champions of quitting smoking. So they will help. They will find ways to help.
Are medications based on nicotine at all, or is that something totally
different? So the patches are. The other ones I mentioned, they're more similar to antidepressant-type medications that have been shown to be effective in helping quit smoking. But again, those have to be taken with the guidance of your doctor.
And what are your thoughts on the government wanting us to smoke or stop? I mean, a huge amount of money would be lost if everyone quit smoking, not only from sales, but hospitals and things like that, and illnesses and diseases, if nobody was smoking, or there were no car accidents, or there were no, you know what I mean? In that respect, does any thought go into that? The fact that, you know, there might, if there are no disease from smoking, maybe a lot of people are out of work.
I wouldn't look at it that way.
As bad as that sounds, but you know what I mean. Yeah,
I would not look at it that way, because a lot of the problems associated with smoking are quite serious. You know, it's healthcare in Canada, prevention is important and health is important. So saying that if people quit smoking, doctors will be out of jobs, that's not true. I mean, there are always problems. Our bodies will always have conditions. That's not the point. In fact, the opposite is important. We don't want to see cancer levels rising. We don't want to see all these complications because of smoking. You know, if we have to see these complications, let it be for other reasons that are out of our control that we can then deal with appropriately. But if one of the easiest things you can do to reduce your risk significantly is to just stop taking in those cigarettes, why not do that? You know, why not help the healthcare system and yourself, most importantly, out? And, you know, I don't want to get into any conspiracy theories because I'm not aware of any, but as a future physician, I would certainly never even think twice about advising my patients to quit smoking if I know that that's going to decrease their risk of getting, you know, significant terrible diseases in the future.
Right. And you make a great point there, just merely stating the fact that this is controllable as opposed to something that is completely out of our hands. This is controllable.
Yeah, actually, the best kind of healthcare is the least amount of healthcare, because if it's in your power to avoid getting sick, that's so much better and easier than having to take all of these medications that have all these other nasty effects.
Sure.
It's substituting one poison for another. So it's really, if that's why we're trying to get the information across to people who might be considering smoking, to have them avoid this problem altogether.
And again, that's Trash the Ash, taking place at St. Clair College. Do you have a website?
There is a website that you can go visit, cancer.ca/cancertalkessexcounty. So that website should have information about the event that's coming up. So it's going to be at St. Clair College at the Hangar, October 26th. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Doors will open at 6:30. Please come by. Come by for the food. Come by for the questions. We'd like to see as many people out there. We'd like to see youth out there. We'd like to hear your questions. We promise to answer every question. Even if we can't answer it at the event, we'll answer it afterwards, because we will get back to you. As long as you learn something, as long as you get something out of it, that's our goal.
Great. Roman, I appreciate you being on You Talking to Me.
Thank you so much.
We all know smoking is not good, and most who do it don't want to. I guess just never quit quitting. And the Trash the Ash event is surely a way to get your questions answered. Once again, it's October 26th at the Hangar at St. Clair College. And don't miss Big JD and Lippo in the morning, Thursdays at 8. And I'll see you here next week on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.